Good evening, beloved, and welcome to Home Group. A little bit different tonight. My name is Greg Stevens, and I am the host. And you can see there are people behind me. It's a very special night this evening. This is Passover, the beginning of Passover. And we're not going to do the whole Passover Seder, but we want to explain some things for you so that you can understand. So what I'm going to tell you now is toward the end of this program, we're going to take communion together. And I think you'll have a deeper understanding of why we're going to do it. Now, I will tell you this, that prayer ministers are always available here on the network, 877-281-6297, 877-281-6297. They are ready, willing to pray with you. They are trained ministers who are waiting for you right now. Listen, so don't wait. If you need prayer, you need somebody to agree with you, make the call now. Normally, you're interactive with me and we're taking your questions, your comments. I'm not doing that since we have so many things for us to do, but we are studying our heritage, our roots, where we came from as believers. You can explain some things, you can't explain some other things. I'll say it this way. I can make a case for Judaism had Christianity, what we know as Christianity, never happened. You cannot make a case for Christianity had there not been Judaism. That's our roots, and that's where we're from. So, I'm not a rabbi. I'm not trying to convert anybody or do anything like that, but I'm showing you the depth of where we came from. The rabbis say that when you participate in Passover, or when you celebrate Passover, it's as if you were there with Moses. And I think right now, during this time, when the entire world is shut up in their homes, we have a super moon happening, and everything else, all these signs that we start connecting the dots to, I think is very special that we're doing this. I want to thank Pastor George and Terry for allowing us to do this and begin to show you some things. I'm going to introduce you to some people in just a moment. They're sitting behind me on the couches that you normally are used to seeing for Home Group, who are some of the leadership of our USA Israel connection here at Eagle Mountain International Church. They keep these things before us so that we understand our roots. So as we begin tonight, you are celebrating with covenant peoples all around the world. And I think you're going to get a greater understanding of what this is and what Jesus did. Now, I want to straighten something out at the very onset. This is not the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is Passover. He's celebrating Passover. I'll show you. I'll give you an example. When he was 12 years old and he was lost, remember that? His parents lost him and they found him at the temple. That was Passover. When he feeds the group of multitude of thousands, that was another time of Passover. So we have several instances in scriptures where he celebrated Passover. Okay, so as we begin, I am going to grab this, and I believe Roy has his on, and I'm grabbing my, I have several tallits, but I'm going to grab mine. And tonight, because it is sacred and holy, I'm going to put it on. I use this quite often as my prayer shawl. This is my prayer tent. And there's many times that you'll come over to the office there at the church and I'll have it on. Now I'm draping it around my shoulders like this so that I don't knock anything over with my arms. It's a very interesting thing. It's the prayer tent. It's the prayer shawl. It's called the tallit. It has fringes ascribed in the Bible as the way we should wear this. These are referred to as the wings. And now you'll remember where it talked about that Jesus came with healing in his wings. The woman with the issue of blood in Capernaum reached out and grabbed this fringe that was the hem of his garment. She grabbed it because if I draped this, you would see it would drape down below my knees. Matter of fact, the fringes are hitting mid shin on me right now. So that she reached out and she grabbed this. So they took cloths and aprons from the body from Paul. What do you think it was? Paul was a tent maker. What do you think it was? That's what this was. And so I'm putting mine on tonight because this is a very solemn night. It's a very celebratory night. It's a night of redemption. So as we begin, let's begin in this. The first thing that you do in Passover is it began last week, and you began to get the leaven out of your house. And so you would clean the leaven out. Now, leaven is yeast, anything that makes bread really good and yummy, right? You get that out of your house because it always represented sin. And so they will begin to do that. In a minute, I'll show you something. This is modern Passover, and I'll show you more what first century looked like in just a moment. So they would get the leaven out. It's the first thing that they would do. Second thing they do is that they light the candles. Every Shabbat, the women of the house light the candles. So Roy, if you would come join me. Michelle, if you would please come and join me. This is Roy Pipkin. Greetings. Welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so
glad.
Thank you
for having me.
Can we do that? Did we just break the rule?
Yeah,
there? Here, let's do this. Okay. I'll go get some sanitizer and clean my hand. I'll have Michelle, if you would light the candles. Now, I want you to understand something. The women, every Sabbath, light the candles. And the reason they light the candles is because the light of the world, it's Genesis chapter 3, will come through the seed of woman. So as she lights the candles, there's a prayer that's said. I won't do it in Hebrew, but here's what it says. Go ahead, Michelle. It says, "Blessed are you, O Lord God, ruler of the universe, who has set us apart by his word, and in whose name we light the festival lights." So she will do that and then wave that three times to lighting the candles. And that begins, thank you, that begins the Sabbath. That begins the Passover each week. So Roy, while we're here, let's begin to talk about some of these things that we have here. We have what's called a Seder plate. Now, there's a lot of symbolic things in this. All of it is symbolic, and it wasn't necessarily so in the first century.
Correct.
And Jesus, because things are different now.
There was a temple then, there's not now.
Right. So what do we have on here? We have a bone.
Chicken bone.
Well, it would be a lamb bone, a shank bone. Bitter herbs.
Which is horseradish.
Horseradish here.
And the lettuce.
The lettuce up here. And we have an egg.
Egg. That represents the temple that was destroyed and burnt. And you go on to the haroset, that represents the...
Which is apples and fruit.
Oh, I'm sorry, yes, honey and so on. It's sticky, but it's sweet to eat. That represents the bricks and the mortar that they slaved building the things for the Egyptians. All of this stuff has to do with bondage.
It all goes back to Egypt, when they were in Egypt.
Yes.
And on this, the plagues had come, and I'll talk to you about the plagues in just a second. The plagues had come, and they were preparing, the Lord is preparing them on this one night, because on the next day you're going to leave.
That's right.
And you're going to leave in a hurry. And so this is why they couldn't let their bread rise, that they had to have no yeast in the bread. And God had hardened Pharaoh's heart. And here's the interesting thing. They were sheltering in faith. They were sheltering in place like we're sheltering in places today. I'm moving over just a little bit. Like we're sheltering tonight all around the world. And so let's start with this. You'll notice that there's four cups of juice here, four cups of wine during this. Go ahead.
Sanctification is the first.
The very first cup.
Next one is plagues.
The plagues is the second cup.
The one that I really enjoy is the cup of redemption. The
cup of redemption.
And then the cup of Elijah.
The cup of Elijah. So let me talk about the cups for a second. Throughout the Hebrew scriptures, the cup is often used as a symbol of God's judgment.
Correct.
For example, the cup of fury, the cup of judgment, the cup of trembling, the cup of horror, the cup of desolation. They all appear in the First Testament or the Old Testament, yet we also find the psalmist crying out, "I will take up the cup of salvation." Isn't that interesting? "And call upon the name of the Lord," Psalm 116:13. So David writes that. He says, "I will take up the cup of salvation," or redemption. So he's referring to, when he wrote that, he's referring to what? Passover.
That's correct.
He's referring to this cup right here, looking forward to our day. So the symbol of the cup carries with it pictures of both wrath and redemption, of judgment and of blessing. Yet how the cup became a Passover symbol still kind of is a mystery. We do know that by the time of Jesus observing Passover, drinking a cup during the meal was an official part of the observance. In fact, ancient rabbinic source, the Mishnah, instructs those celebrating to drink from the cup four times during the Passover Seder. Now, we have four cups here, but you would have one cup and you would fill it four times. Okay. That tradition remains to this day. So today that has happened and is happening all around the world. So each time the cup is filled, it has a different name. Now, opinions vary as to what the certain cups actually symbolize. Most agree that the first cup is the cup of sanctification. So with this cup, you begin the Passover. You begin with the cup of sanctification. And they do a blessing over that. So when you would do that, you would pick up that cup and you would hold it up and you would pronounce a blessing over it. And then everyone would drink from that cup. So this is how it starts. The second cup, now this is a very interesting one, is the cup of plagues.
Well, this is the one that they usually take your little finger.
Okay, now explain that, because I was getting ready to explain that. What do they do?
Well, they dip their little finger in the cup of plagues, and each time, like he would mention the plague, they dip
like
just
frogs,
a spot,
or water turned to blood.
Yes, and darkness, and the first, so on, right on down the line, until we get all 10 plagues, and it comes out of that cup.
Now, why are we doing that? Why are we going through all of this year after year?
Well, to remember. Remember what we came from. Even as the church, we are a part of this. We inherit this. This is our heritage. And to understand,
because this is a Moed. This is the feast of the Lord. This is not the Lord's Supper. He said in Exodus, these are the feast of the Lord. The very first one that starts it.
Right. They're not Jewish feasts. The feast of the Lord.
The feast of the Lord starts with Passover. So we're reminding ourselves that we were once slaves.
Slaves.
And now we're redeemed.
We weren't slaves in Egypt, but we were slaves to sin before we received Jesus as Lord.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So out of these four cups, I'm going to read you this verse in Exodus 6, verses 6 and 7. I will free you from the forced labor of the Egyptians, rescue you from their oppression, redeem you with an outstretched arm, glory. I will take you as my people, and I will be your God. Now, see, we didn't have that covenant as Gentiles, but we do now.
We do now.
And so that's why this still is significant for us today.
It's important for us to know.
Amen. So the cup of plagues. We don't rejoice in the plagues.
No, but
we rejoice that we were. See, they never came to the Jewish people, did it? They lived in Goshen and it didn't happen to them. It happened to everybody around
them. That's correct. Yeah.
And this is why on this night, I'm going to proclaim right now, Corona can happen all around you.
Can't get to you.
But it can't get to you.
Amen.
Amen. No plague.
We're behind the blood.
Yes, we're behind the blood. So that can't come to us. Amen. I'm about to get happy. I might have to do a little dance here. Okay. So the second cup is called the cup of plagues. The third cup is referred to either as the cup of redemption or the cup of blessing. All right. The cup of redemption or the cup of blessing. Now, when we go back to the first century, back behind us here in a minute, I'll show you that. That's actually the one that Jesus picked up and identified himself with.
Well, I personally think that he shocked his disciples when he picked it up.
Absolutely did.
Because when he picked it up.
Radical statement.
Yeah.
What he did.
And they knew what he was doing. He didn't know how he was going to do it until all this took place. It all took place at this time 2,000 years ago.
Yeah. Amen. Okay. So the last cup is often called Hallel, which means praise. It's the praise cup. Through some traditions, it's also called the cup of acceptance, and while still others use it as the cup of Elijah. In some traditions, and in the first century, they would combine this cup of praise with the cup of, so there were only three cups, the cup of plagues. So we're not praising about the plagues, we're praising that the plagues never hit us.
That's correct.
And so in the older days, in some traditions, they still do that. Instead of four cups, three cups. All right, so they're to be filled with they're not to be filled with white grape juice or white wine. It has to be red. Why does it have to be red?
It represents the blood.
It represents the blood. And so when they went into their homes that night, the blood had already been applied on the doorpost of their house. What I really love about that is the ancient Hebrew letter of Tav, which is the covenant mark. You know it as a cross. All right. So the New Testament names one of the cups, and the cup that's taken after supper is traditionally called the third cup. Jesus will say in Luke chapter 22, what you just alluded to, this is the new covenant in my blood, which was shed for you. The Apostle Paul calls it the cup of blessing, which we bless in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. So both, there's two verses identifying that cup.
As he picked up that cup, he became the Passover lamb.
My Lord. That'd been prophesied over
him.
That's
correct.
By John. Behold, the Lamb of God, which takes away
the sins
of the world. Sure. Okay, so both Jesus and Paul will draw on something from Jewish tradition to provide insight not previously understood by the disciples. By calling the cup the new covenant in my blood, Jesus makes a direct reference to a promise of Jeremiah chapter 31. God had declared that he would make a new covenant because the previous one had been broken. And so to violate a covenant agreement with God was a bad thing. So now Jesus is coming and he's going to make a covenant with God, fulfilling the cup of redemption.
I think that's one of the reasons we need to understand the Old Testament, understand the law, because Jesus fulfilled it. He didn't do away with it. He fulfilled it.
To the letter, didn't he?
That's right.
Okay, so after that, they will wash their hands. After we've discussed this, another thing they will do is wash their hands. They'll do that a couple of times during the dinner. And you'll find that Jesus did that very thing. He washed not only their hands, but their feet. Peter will go on and say, wash all of me. All right. Go ahead.
Isn't that interesting, though? Every time you turn on the TV, they're saying, wash your hands.
Wash your hands, wash your hands.
I wonder where they got that from.
Yeah, well, they probably got it from right here, didn't
they? That's right.
And you know, as a matter of fact, the Jewish people survived the plague because they washed their hands.
And everybody blamed them for it.
Right. So we have parsley in here. We have all these different things. But now we have something that's very interesting. And you have children taking part in this, and they ask questions.
Yes.
So we have, beginning with number one, the Kurth girls. We asked the Kurth girls to give us the questions. So if they would give me question number one, please. Here we go.
Hi, I'm McKenna.
And I'm Aiden.
And I'm Sadie.
On all other nights, we eat bread. Why only on this night do we eat matzah?
So they ask, on all other nights, we eat bread that's leavened, regular bread, challah or whatever. But tonight, we only eat matzah.
Matzah, unleavened bread.
So why is that?
Well, it was the bread of haste.
Uh-huh.
Because when they left in a hurry. And I read some things where they actually laid it out, put it on their backs. As they walked, the sun cooked.
cooked it. Interesting thing about this is modern prepared matzah.
Yes.
It's unleavened. It's a little square. I find something very interesting with it. It's striped.
Stripes of Jesus.
And it's
by
pierced.
His stripes.
Now,
side was pierced, yeah.
So we'll have three of these, and we'll go over that in just a second. If I could get question number two, please.
We eat vegetables. Why only bitter herbs on this night?
Now we ask about the bitter herbs. Why do we eat bitter herbs?
That's to remember the pain and the suffering that went through at the time.
So the bitter herbs represent suffering and they represent slavery.
Correct.
And so it's you're in your promised land and you're living in prosperity, but it's on this night to remind ourselves.
Yeah, but how do you know what summer's like until you go through winter? I mean, it's a situation where you got to remember where you came from and what occurred, and you don't want to go back to it.
All right. Question number three.
On other nights, we do not dip our vegetables, but on this night, we dip them twice. Why?
So why, there's the question, why do we dip into the water twice?
Okay, the salt water represents the tears.
Okay.
And honestly,
so we're dipping that to remind ourselves of that one. So question number four coming up, the Kurth girls ask, on other nights we eat sitting, like at a table like this, and why on this night do we eat reclining? Here's the question.
On other nights we eat sitting. Why do we eat reclining on this night?
Why do we not eat at a table? Why do we eat
reclining? Also, when they take the drink, you have to lean to the left. If you're standing, you lean left, but you want to eat reclining because that's how the upper class were, that's how the rich people did. And you're no longer
slaves.
Slaves ate standing up and in a hurry. You're laying down, taking time.
A free person rest.
Correct.
Rest. Okay, so I want to grab these. Your mic fell, so I'm going to let you grab that. Here's something that's a a tradition with the bread that I didn't do just a second ago. We have three pieces of matzah here, and we put them inside of this.
A matzah tush.
This is a what? Say that again.
Matzah tush.
What's a matzah tush,
dude? It's the holder of the...
The holder of the matzah. Okay,
I don't know what you want to call it, but it was made out of linen, like different materials.
So you make one, two, and three, and there's a little pouch here, and they're all separated, right?
Yes.
And so we take these three, but now he did something interesting. In each Passover, you take the middle one.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
And what do we do with the middle one? And what do they represent?
Well, a lot of the Old Testament represented, they thought it was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They never could figure out why they busted up Isaac. But it represents God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost.
Well, for us, it's Trinity. So you take this one, yeah. Abraham, this is Isaac, the
Isaac.
Middle one.
Mm-hmm.
Abraham offered Isaac. Remember that story? So you take Isaac and you break it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I take this other piece of the broken part of Isaac and we stick it in a bag. And
I'll get it.
I'll put that there and I'll put this one back in here. Now, what happens to that at this point during the dinner?
This becomes the octocomen.
Okay.
And this is taken and hidden or buried.
Okay, so we bury this, we hide this. We would give this to somebody and they're going to take it and hide it somewhere
yes.
out of sight. So Isaac, the son of the father, is broken, wrapped in linen, and buried.
Buried. And then you usually have children to try to find it.
And so at the end of the dinner, the children will go, we tell now the story about the whole, the Passover at this point, they would tell the story. And as you get to the end of this thing, you have, now we start to get into some praise. And they begin something called Dienu. And they'll say this.
It would have been enough.
It would have been enough. If the Lord merely rescued us but had not judged the Egyptians, you would say,
Dehenu.
It would have been enough. And so over and over and over, we said, if the Lord would have just done this without doing that, it would have been enough. But He always does exceedingly abundantly above all we can think or ask. So after that all happens, and you go through it, we're rushing right through this very quickly. After all of that happens, you have the children go, and they begin to go. If you've ever been to a Passover Seder, it's hilarious at this point because they're running throughout all the house.
Because they get a prize if they find it.
There's a reward when you find
Jesus,
the broken Isaac
right.
that was buried and hidden, buried in linen and hidden. And when they bring this, you usually the child who finds it gets a reward.
That's right.
Now, Jesus will do something very interesting on that night, won't He? What will He do?
This is how He starts communion. He breaks it. Says, this is my body.
He will take this one. And at the end of every Passover Seder, they do this, don't they? They take this one, and then they break this, and they distribute it among the people. But he will point out, this is my body. Okay, tell me about this last cup, the cup of Elijah.
Well, the cup of Elijah is tradition because Elijah had to come first before the Savior, before the Mashiach. And what's really interesting is they will have the youngest child go to the door and open it and look, see if he's there. But this also has to do with what is coming, what Jesus did. It has to do with everything that took place. All of the prophecies that are in the Old Testament come up to this one spot, or the first covenant, if you want to say it, which is redemption when there is a new covenant put in place.
Okay, so they go and they look. Now, this reminds me of Jesus, his cousin, came in the Spirit.
There's a scripture that says that.
Of Elijah.
Yes.
So, and
if you can accept it.
And truth is, Elijah came.
That's correct.
Or the spirit of Elijah came and was the forerunner. And that spirit of Elijah will see him one day as he's beginning ministry. And he will say, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world.
Amen.
And he will come to be baptized or immersed by John in the river. And John will say, I'm not worthy that you should baptize me at all. And he said, you have to do this. And John will later say, I must decrease so that he can increase. So that is real quick, I mean really quickly, of everything that happens at the modern Passover table. At the end of this thing, they will sing with the cup of praise. Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, I will take you as my people and I will be your God. And they will say, blessed are you, Lord God, creator of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. And they will begin to sing Psalm 136. They'll begin to sing, for the Lord is good and his mercy endures forever. And they begin to praise, and it is a joyous time.
It's true.
At the end of every Passover. It is a joyous time at every Passover Seder. Now, that's what happens. We just walked through it. Did I miss anything?
Not that I know.
Very quickly. We didn't do it. I didn't want to do it with you. Just wanted to walk you through it. Now, on this night, that's so different than any other Passover Seder night, because all over the world, Jewish homes, they're meeting at home. They're not meeting in big hotel ballrooms or anything. They're meeting at home, been commanded to meet in place. And we have a pandemic. We have a plague that's going through the land right now, going around the world. And I believe the blood of the Lamb is protecting. And I believe this thing's breaking. So now I'm going to show you a clip. Brother Copeland, the other day, felt impressed by the Holy Spirit. And he talked about applying the blood of Jesus for divine protection.
Amen.
We're going to play that in just a second. We're going to take you back in time. I'm going to show you the difference. We're going to talk about the last week of Jesus. Kenneth Copeland now demonstrates how he and Gloria applied the blood of Jesus and reads the Passover scriptures out of Exodus. We'll come back in the first century right after this.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. And I'm announcing the death of the plague. Hallelujah! Woo! We're doing victory on it, right? We are not battling. We're doing victory. Now today, the fire of God is going to hit your household partner. It's going to hit maybe like never before, because I'm going to demonstrate to you what Gloria and I did Sunday before last. Coming back from church, I mean to tell you, I got mad and then got glad at the same time. Father, we thank you today for the blood. Oh, the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Heavenly Father. And today, it's so wonderful to be able to take this message to the people of the world absolutely need to hear this, that happened centuries and centuries ago. And we'll celebrate it in just a few days on April the 8th. Passover. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I'll go to the 12th chapter of the book of Exodus. Now, I'm not going to take time to read this whole chapter, but I am going to point out some things that are very pertinent to what we're dealing with right now in this country, and so is the rest of the world. Let's look in the 12th chapter, and let's begin reading with the third verse. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take of them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. Now, we're going to bring that over into our day and how this applies to us. This is the front door of my house. Amen. Oh, glory to God. I know what this is going to sound like in a few minutes, and I'm already so excited. I think, well, I may be stretching it a little bit, but I think I'd jump over this pulpit here in just a minute. You will too. Listen to this. Without blemish, a male of the first year, you shall take it from out of the sheep or from the goats. Keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein they shall eat it. I want you to see something here. They said, eat it dressed, all your clothes on, got everything packed. This is the last thing you're ever going to do in Egypt. This is it. You're packed up. You got to believe, hey, when you're going to put the blood over this thing and you're getting out of town, brother. faith in the blood. Thank you, Jesus. Now then, verse 11, thus you shall eat it with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, your staff in your hand, and you'll eat it in haste. This is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. He's executing judgment on this demon virus. It's not even a very strong virus. The symptoms are not a whole lot to it. But right now, it's a mystery that is very quickly and very rapidly being unraveled. A few nights ago, a lot of you saw it, we had a special. Well, we had two Wednesdays in a row, Wednesday before last and last Wednesday. And the first Wednesday, I dipped my hand in oil and anointed each person on staff there that night. And like my father in the faith, Oral Roberts, had done many years ago. And so I just put my hand up and I said, put your hand on the television. Well, people said, it don't make any difference what they think. I got testimonies today. One woman put her hand up there and could feel the oil on the tips of her fingers. And the power of God was so strong that she just fell over on the floor, got up healed. One woman's testimony. Are you ready for this? She was praying for her friend who was in the hospital with COVID-19. She held her hand up there, prayed for him, and got the word that he had died. Now, wait a minute, got it out of line. She got the word that he had died. She's praying for him. And they called about 3 or 4 minutes later and said, no, his heart's beating. He's fighting this thing. Hey, man, glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, there's no time nor distance in the realm of the Spirit. You and I know that. So look at this. I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. The blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now hold it here a minute. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he sees the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. Now wait. Malachi 3. Those of you that have been locked up and you can't go to work, what am I going to do financially? Hey, bring ye the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, the Lord of the heavenly angelic armies of God. What about your ministering spirit? What about the angels that have been assigned to protect you? Don't forget about them. This place is covered in them all the time, protecting this property and all of this ministry in my household. Now listen. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy. It's the same destroyer. He can't kill you with this virus, and he can't kill your finances if you're a tither. And if you haven't been tithing, become one right now. Right now. Oh, well, but, I've been around a long time. All right, don't be arguing with me. Just make the decision right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this, Father. Now, let me demonstrate. These little blue flowers, the hyssop plant, the instruction was to use hyssop to sprinkle the blood. It was this kind of motion. Now, just a few moments ago, when we looked up the hyssop plant, I don't know why I never had done this before. I knew some about it. But just a few moments ago, we learned that this little plant, this is the closest simulator I could get, because it is a very pretty blue plant, and it's rather tall. And they had cut that off to where it just had little pieces of it sticking up, kind of like a brush. This is kind of a poor simulator, but I wanted to give you a sense of what they were doing. It is one of the most aromatic plants. The smell is just wonderful. And just as we were doing that, Brother Dale mentioned to me, he said, the woman, Jesus said, she's done this for my burial, when she took that very expensive perfume and anointed his feet. He said, she's done this for my burial. See, he was there that day. He was in on this deal, Dale. He was right there, man. He smelled that aroma, because he knew there was coming the day when he would be that lamb. And he could smell the sweet-smelling aroma. And we know where it says in the Bible that our sacrifices are a sweet smell, the sacrifices of our praise, a sweet smell in the nostrils of God. Oh, glory to God. So Gloria and I walked up on this porch. Oh, I tell you, I was coming back from church, and on the way home from church, I just got mad. It just infuriated me. Sunday before last, as quick as I got home, I got Gloria. I said, come on, get out of here. And we simulated this. We stood right here in front of our door. And I'll just do it as close as I can to the way we did it Sunday, and as close as I can to the scripture. All right, follow me now. I walked up here and stood just about here. And of course, I didn't have anything in my hand. I did my hand this way because I had imagined it in my mind. I said, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb without blemish, in that name, I sprinkle the blood of the Lamb over the top, over the doorposts of my home. And I praise you, sir. I draw the bloodline right here. No virus of any kind. No destroyer of finances of any kind can cross the threshold of my home, my house. And this represents every door in this house, every entrance of this house, every entrance up at the headquarters, every entrance in the TV studio, every entrance on this land. And now today, sir, I intercede and make supplication for the households of my partners all over this world in the name of the sweet name of Jesus. Praise God. And the aroma of the sweet rose of Sharon, the Master himself, fills the place where you are sitting, my Father, and the place where our Lamb sits at your right hand. And don't forget, we've been raised up together. We're there now. Jesus, at the right hand of the Father, you, your family, at the right hand of Jesus. We sit there boldly. The throne of grace. His grace provided deliverance from this wicked thing 2,000 years ago. And today we're receiving that deliverance. Hallelujah. I bless you. I thank you for being my partner. I love you. I pray for you. And I hold you up every day. And you, my dear partner and my dear friend, and my dear brother, my dear sister, are not the sick trying to get healed. You are the healed, and the devil's trying to take your health away from you. Get up from there and be well, because Jesus is Lord.
I receive that. In Jesus' name, I receive that. What about you? I want to thank each one of you for being with us. We are going to now, we've transitioned from modern day Passover, and we've gone back a few years. There's some differences. On this table, we don't have the things that are symbolic. The temple was still standing. There's actually lamb there on the table that was prepared. No candles. It would have been a clay lamp like this. This has not been lit for 2 or 3 years or more.
Right.
It's been sitting there, but it had oil in it one time in the wick. And this afternoon I said, you know what? I think that thing will still burn. I was looking at it. The oil's still in there, my friend, and it lit today, and it was beautiful. The bread is in here. It is unleavened bread, and I've already got the pieces in and torn off. It looks a little different than what we see today. It's round like this. It's still striped and pierced. Now, they didn't just eat the middle one. They ate the other one, and I'll show you something in significance to that in a minute. This is the covenant meal. Let me put these all back in here. Let's begin, since we're all sitting here, if you would, and let's take this and see if I can't do that. Michelle, if you'd hold your hands out over that. I want you to get your communion, and if you've got the towel there, thank you. I want you to get your communion elements ready with us. Wash your hands. Roy, if you would. One more. Yep. Sue.
We can't have the towel.
Yeah, thank you. I only have one towel.
That's okay.
And one more. I'll get you the other side there for you. Okay, great.
Okay. You want Roy to do yours?
And then if you would do mine there, that would be wonderful. Perfect. Thank you. That is very cold. Very cold water. Get your communion elements with us. Let's talk about some things. Glory to God. Of course you can. I sense the anointing just hit this room. I believe it did.
Thank you, Lord.
Where you're at as well. The rabbis teach when you observe Passover, it's as if you were there. Let me tell you about Jesus last week. He arrives at Bethany, and he is anointed by a woman who, remember, she breaks open that costly oil,
alabaster,
a whole year's worth of salary. Interesting, Judas is not happy about that. Mm-hmm. He begins now going to Jerusalem, and he's going to, remember the week before they removed the leaven. Jesus said, I did not come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. Everything he does is fulfillment. Jesus enters the city of Jerusalem on the day the Passover lambs are brought in and selected. Isn't that interesting? The exact same day that he comes riding in and they say, Hoshianu, Lord save us. Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed he comes in the name of the Lord. That's the same day that they're selecting the Passover lambs. So the Passover lamb that would take away the sin of the world rides in on the very same day that they're selecting lambs. He goes to the temple. On the way to that, though, he curses the fig tree.
Right.
Remember that? Mm-hmm. I always wondered, what did that tree ever do to him? Right? I mean, mm-hmm. It's not the tree's fault, but you got to remember he's the second Adam.
Yes.
The first Adam, who got it by one man's sin, death reigned.
That's right.
And by one man's redemption, all of us will be free as well. All right? Mm-hmm. So this next death of the second Adam and the substitution in the covenant, this is all covenant. The disciples, let's put it this way. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John will all tell us what happens this week, but all a little bit different. John's going to focus on the covenant words that he's going to say in those last chapters, chapter 17, chapter 16, chapter 15. Very important stuff. This is all covenant. So, he curses this fig tree. What's the very first thing mankind did when they sinned, when they betrayed him? They covered themselves in fig leaves. And Jesus is sending a message. Every parable he explains except one, the parable of the fig tree. He never explained it because they knew it. Mm. They covered themselves with fig leaves because they were afraid. No more fear and no more covering sin. I'm going to do away with this thing.
Amen.
In my body.
Amen.
And so it was a sign to them. All right. So after he does that, he goes into the temple. Now, here's an interesting thing he does when he goes into the temple. He cleanses the temple. Remember that? Mm-hmm. He turns over the money changers. And there's a plot to kill him.
Yes.
They are so upset about what he's doing there. What's he doing? He's removing the leaven.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's good.
He begins to tell them, remember on another place in Matthew, he says, beware the leaven of the Pharisees.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so what he's doing is he is sweeping the temple clean.
Clean in house.
He's cleaning the house.
Yeah.
It's his house. My house should be called a house of prayer.
Yes.
He's putting his house in order. I remember Brother Copeland had a word, get your house in order.
Yep.
And that's exactly what Jesus did. Now, they're going to notice, they're going to leave, probably go back to Bethany, and they're going to notice the withered fig tree. And Peter's going to make comment about it. And this is where we're going to get Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24.
Communion.
And they're going to begin to question his authority. Now, what are they doing when they're doing that? They're examining the lamb.
Yeah.
Because that's exactly what they're doing on the temple. They're examining the lamb. In that process, you're going to see some very interesting things that'll happen. This is where we're going to get Matthew chapter 22. This is where we're going to get render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's and unto God that which is God's. Do you remember that?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That's what the Pharisees ask. And if you'll read those verses, you'll find out that he said that we're going to trip him up in his words. Mm. And so they said, who should we pay this tax to? And he said, whose picture is on it?
Yes.
Now, right after that, the Sadducees will come. Now, the Sadducees do not believe there's a resurrection. Mm-hmm. The Pharisees believe in a resurrection. The Sadducees did not.
That's why they were sad.
That's why they're sad, you see. So they don't believe in a resurrection, but here's that's very good.
I'm just saying.
Here's what they're going to do. They're going to ask a question about marriage in the resurrection. Mm-hmm. But they don't believe in it. So what are they trying to do? They're trying to trip him up. He answers that question. Then a lawyer or a scribe is going to ask him a question, and Jesus is going to refute that question as well. And Jesus is now going to turn it and ask them a question. And he's going to say this. He's going to go to covenant. He's going to say, let me ask you, the son of David, the Messiah. And they're going to say, then they're going to answer because he's been called son of David. Matter of fact, everybody, blind Bartimaeus from Jericho, all of those guys, son of David, have hesed on me.
Yeah.
Son of David had hesed on me. And so Jesus is going to ask them because here he is, the root of Jesse.
Right.
You discussed it just a while ago. The son of David, the lamb, the seed of Abraham. Mm-hmm. All of this stuff is covenant, guys. And when he starts talking to that, he went to covenant. Now, Jesus is going to, they're going to do all of the, most of the Passover Seder that we discussed a second ago. There's something very interesting that happens. The cup of redemption stood for more than just the Hebrews' escape from Egypt. It stood for the plan and purpose of God for all ages. Judgment and salvation, wrath and redemption are brought together in one mystery of one cup explained by the Messiah in that room. Jesus was not merely speaking of a cup in pure symbolic manner. He's describing the events that would soon occur in his own life. Now, before I get into something, I want to share something with you. Piecing it together, now they're in the upper room. Here's what happens. He sends the disciples and he says, go and find a man who's carrying a water pitcher, which is unusual for that day anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And when you see him, find him, follow him, and tell him the Lord needs a place, and he gave them an upper room. Okay. In that, you remember the disciples would always argue who's going to sit on your right, who's going to sit on your left,
mm-hmm.
all of that, right? Yeah. Here's what I believe happened. Usually the youngest, John would have been the youngest. John, it says, leaned against him mm-hmm. On his chest. Remember that in the dinner? So they're reclining. Yes. You remember a while ago you said you leaned to the left.
Yes.
So if you were John and you leaned to the left, mm-hmm. you would rest. You would, if we're reclining on the floor, would rest here. Mm-hmm. So John, I believe, was seated to the right. Now, even today in Mediterranean culture, to eat of the bitter herbs, which represented slavery, you dip in this, you would dip this with bread. One of the other pieces, Abraham, the covenant.
Right.
You would dip that covenant, sop it into the bitter herbs with this, with the lamb, and you would eat it. It says, Jesus talks about the one that would betray him. Who did it? The one who dipped with me. In the Middle East, you eat with your right hand. So Judas was probably not, you're not Judas, but Judas would have been seated to his left. Yes. I believe Peter normally would sit there because Peter will complain about it. And he said, Satan has desired to sift you. I didn't set you next to me. Judas will dip with him because your right hand, it's natural for you to reach right here. Judas will dip into his covenant of suffering and his covenant of slavery. Judas breaks the covenant right there to dip into the suffering. Jesus will say, I'm going somewhere you can't go. Man, I can smell that horseradish. I'm going somewhere you can't go. And he dips in that. Jesus will then say, what you have to do, go do it.
Yeah.
And he leaves. Yeah. He leaves before they take this broken piece of Isaac. Now we're going to get ready for communion. Get your elements ready. He leaves. Jesus will take this broken one, striped and pierced, and he'll take it and he'll break it. And he'll hand it to them and say, he'll give them the bread and he'll say to them, this is my body. This is me, broken for you. And a few hours from then, he's going to be broken. Guys, if you'll grab your glass. And after they do that, now Judas is not in the room. Mm-hmm. After that, they're going to take the cup and he's going to say the cup of redemption. Mm-hmm. And he will say, this is my blood.
That's right.
This is my body, the Isaac that you've been doing all these years, mm-hmm. broken. Mm-hmm. That's me. My body broken for you. You're never, by my stripes, you're going to be healed. Mm-hmm. This is my blood. This is the eternal redemption covenant.
Eternal.
Glory to God. So get your elements ready. Michelle, if you would you pray over the body? Over the broken body of Jesus. Get ready. Let's take together.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. In this very moment, all across the world, right now, your entire body, the body of Christ, is coming together to celebrate what you did on the cross for your broken body.
Amen.
We thank you, Lord, that you said yes.
Yes.
That you said you would.
Yes.
And you did.
Amen.
And you broke your body. Your body was broken for us.
Amen.
For healing of the body.
Amen.
And so we thank you right now in Jesus' name.
Take it. Take and eat. If you need healing, receive it right now in Jesus' name. He took the cup, the blood. Roy, just a few seconds. Pray over the cup of redemption, the blood of Jesus.
Lord God, we thank you that you took the cup, that you handled it, you took care of the situation, that we can come into this with prayer and thanksgiving and understand the eternal thing that we're holding in our hands is that covenant. Baruch atah Adonai Elohenu Melech Ha'olam Barei Peri Hagafen.
Amen. That's the blessing over the fruit of the vine. Take and drink. Glory to God. Now just praise Him.
Thank you, Lord.
Now just praise Him. Now they sang songs of praises. Now they sang songs of praises. Now they praised and they thanked for the redemption. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. I thank you that right now people are being healed all across America, all around the world. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. I thank you that coronavirus is defeated and destroyed. I thank you that your people are protected by the blood and healed and whole. In Jesus' name, I curse this thing. We are covered by the blood of Jesus. Thank you for being with us tonight. We'll see you again tomorrow morning for morning prayer and back here on Home Group next week. God loves you. We love you. Jesus is Lord.